It's time for us to start to explore our Bible reading, and Jeff is going to help us do that as we hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness.
A spider skittered under a desert rock, and a scorpion skipped behind a desert stone, and a snake slithered along the dusty desert path. A man sat down, sweating in the desert sun, and his name was Jesus. And he had walked and wandered through the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had eaten nothing. For the Spirit of the Lord had called upon him to fast in this desert. The spider dug deeper into the dust, and the scorpion raised his poisonous tail. The snake raised his head as if he had recognized something, for something was there. Stood next to Jesus, and his name was the Tempter. So, they tell me you're the Son of God. If that is so, you should have no trouble in satisfying your aching stomach. Why don't you turn all of these stones into bread? And then he picked up a stone and offered it to Jesus. The spider skittered away to find another stone. Haven't you read what the scriptures say? That a person should not live by bread alone? Yes. The scriptures, the tempter laughed. As it happens, I know them very well. And then, somehow, the tempter took them both to the very highest point of the Temple of Jerusalem. They say that God will look after you and will send his angels to lift you up so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. So, why don't you jump, he said, and see if these scriptures which you cherish so much are true. Jesus looked down, a long, long way down, and a flock of birds fluttered by and flew off, whistling as they went. I think not, Jesus grinned, for the scriptures also say that we should trust the Lord and not put him to the test. And then, somehow they were in another place. They stood at the very top of the highest mountain, where they were able to see every kingdom on earth. I will give you all of this, laughed the tempter. And all you have to do is bow down and worship me. Jesus already had an answer to this. Go away, tempter, for the scriptures say that we shall worship the Lord our God and only him. And now the tempter had gone, and Jesus was back in the desert. The spider scuttered to another place to hide. The scorpion lowered his tail and the snake was on his own. And he put his head down onto the dusty desert floor and he slithered slowly, sadly away.
Father God, we thank you for all the good things you give us. We thank you for the gift of your word, how it strengthens us to live our whole lives in service of you. We pray that as we reflect upon it now, your spirit would move amongst us, guiding us, encouraging us, and leading us deeper into your presence. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. The story of Jesus in the wilderness, even before we add Jeff into the mix, is an evocative story that is really vivid to us. As we read it, we can imagine and see the journey that Jesus goes on for his strength, his ability to resist the tempter, and we look at it and think, we would love to be just like Jesus. We are going to explore this morning not particularly how Jesus resists temptation, but how it is that the tempter comes to Jesus and what it is he offers to him. Why is it that those particular temptations are such dangerous things for us to be tempted by? And if we were in the same boat, what might the temptation look like to us? To help us do this, I am going to get out of the bag a series of hats. Hats are really useful in our lives because they are often associated with particular jobs or particular activities. And by using the hats, we're going to draw our focus and attention to each of the different things that Jesus is tempted by. And hopefully that will equip us to be able to look at those things in our lives. But to start off with, I have got some questions for you to help just guide where we're going, to hope that you were paying enough attention to the story that Jeff told so wonderfully to us. So as your opening question, what was the first temptation that Jesus was offered? To turn stones into bread. You'll be delighted to know that our ordinander is still joining in. She had her hand up at the front. She still knows the answers. You're absolutely right. It is that temptation for a man who has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, not eating, to turn stones into bread. So let's have a look at our first hat. To help our friends on Zoom, I have got some pictures as well, so I might get Keith to put our first hat on the screen. So, what role or job do you think you would associate with this hat? And as a clue, being from Yorkshire is not a role or an occupation, as wonderful as it may be. What job would someone like to associate this hat with? We've got, yeah, farmer is our offer. I absolutely think that's right. This was Kat's granddad's hat. And what I've learned is that my head is bigger than his, and you can add your own jokes into that. Farmers so often, in my imagination, wear flat caps and probably very prejudicially suck corn, sitting in the corners of fields, wondering what it is they should do in their lives. But the image of a farmer is a really evocative one for us. The first temptation that Jesus is offered is to turn stone into bread, to become his own provider in the desert. And farmers are responsible for so much of the food and the good things that we enjoy. You can't make bread unless you have wheat or a gluten-free alternative to it. We aren't going to be tempted to solve the problem that Jesus faced by turning stones into bread, because however good our prayer lives are, that is not a solution that is available to us. But we are very, very often tempted to place ourselves in God's role as provider. We look at the food in our cupboards and assume that it is there because we've worked hard, because we've been to the shops, because we've put it there. The food on our table is there because we've cooked it, or occasionally because a man on an electric bike has brought it to us. But we use our food as a thing which we so often point to ourselves to provide for. The temptation that Jesus is first offered is to be his own provider, to ignore the gifts that God gives him. And when we do the same, we make God smaller in our lives. We make ourselves feel bigger and more important because we see ourselves as the people who provide the things that we need. When we begin to see God as our provider, we begin to understand our dependence on God, on the good things that he gives to us. As we see those good things as coming from God, we begin to reflect on his character as a God of generosity, a God of abundance. And when we hold these ideas about God, how we see the world around us starts to change as well. So the first temptation of Jesus was to ignore God as his provider. Second hat for today. Oh, first of all, what's the second temptation? It's quieter this time. Obviously, we're more absorbed in the story. The audience is still here at the front with a hand up. Does anyone else want to share? We'll come to Trisha if we need to. To jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the temple in Jerusalem is probably lower than we think it is, but jumping off it would still be a terribly bad idea. The temptation in that moment for Jesus is to push God that he will send his angels to rescue him. So the second hat that we have already beautifully on the screen is a helmet. This is my climbing helmet. If you look closely at the top, you will see that it's quite scratched and dinted on the top. And that's for two reasons. Firstly, climbers aren't as careful with their helmets as they ought to be and tie them to the outside of the bags and they get scratched. But you wear a helmet when you're climbing so that the rocks that are above you, when they fall, because they do, hit your head and bounce off your helmet. Helmets are there to protect us from the world around us. And there are moments without that protection where our very lives would be lost. So the second role I invite you to think of for God is God as our protector, God as our defender. Now the challenge to Jesus was for him to jump off the temple and put that to the test. Would God come and rescue him? Would God come and deliver him from the fate of falling from the top of the temple all the way to the floor? For us in our own lives, when we look at how we see the world around us, do we have an idea that God is our defender? It says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, then what can stand against us? If God is for us, what can stand against us? And that is a verse that I very often tell myself when I'm doing things which I find intimidating or scary or worrying. Because if God is with us in our corner, defending us and protecting us, then the rest of the world is unable to stand against his power. Now, if I wear my helmet when I am climbing, I am protected from lots of things in the world. But I can tell you the other stories where I've managed to fall and still hurt myself despite having my helmet on. The truth is, even if we place God as our protector and our defender, there are still moments when our lives come into peril, when bad things happen to us, when we are worried about the outcomes of what it means. It doesn't mean that God is not with us. But the promise that God makes to us is one which plays out across the whole of eternity. We need to work out how we can separate the physicality of our lives from the eternity of our lives. And God's promise to us is not that we will never suffer hardships in life, but that ultimately, when time comes to an end, we are brought safely to our heavenly home to be with God our Father in heaven. Fundamentally, having God as our protector, what we are pointing to is our ability to trust our everyday life to God, that God is with us even when times are hard. The temptation is that God abandons us. But Jesus knows that God is faithful and is always with us. We shouldn't test that relationship, but we should know that God's care is for us all of the time. So the second role is God as our protector. Attentive sisters and brothers in Christ, what was the third temptation? The promise of the world, the promise of the kingdoms, and what is it that Jesus has to do in order to get all of these things? All he has to do is bow down and worship the tempter. Jesus is fast with his riposte. You should worship the Lord your God only. He knows that he must worship God. And the last of our hats is the crown. I was talking to Kat and she said, you really should get a better crown. This plastic one, which I seem to draw up more often than not, is one which is definitely too small for me. The temptation to Jesus is to give the authority and the glory to the tempter in exchange for worldly riches, rather than giving all of the authority to God. When we read the scriptures, we learn lots of things about God. But some of those titles that we apportion to God are that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all things. All authority on heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. But the temptation is that power is given to other people. We live in troubling times in the news, where the love of power seems to be challenging all sorts of things we thought were secure in the world. I genuinely have no idea if the United States and Israel's attack on Iran last night is a good thing or a bad thing. I have no idea how it will play out. But what I see in that movement in the news is leaders who see their own power and their own authority as being all important. One hopes that there is wisdom in the movement, that good will come of the actions, because there were lots of things which the leadership in Iran was doing which were abhorrent. But the love of power and authority is a temptation for all of us in our own lives. Who makes the judgments about what you do in your life? Do you seek to live a life which is morally focused on obeying God's command? Do you seek to live a life which is ethically rooted and in the authority of Scripture and the Lord? The temptation for all of us is to take that crown and to place it on our own heads. The temptation is that we should limit God's authority in our lives and over the world. So the challenge I have for you is, where is your sense of authority in the world and in your lives? Do you see the authority as belonging to God? Or do you see the authority as belonging to earthly powers and dominions? When we leave the crown to belong to God, we have our priorities in the right place. For Jesus rules over all things. So we have three different hats, three different roles which each belong to God. I wonder, which is the one that you find easiest to give to God at the moment in your life? Do you find it easiest to see God as your provider, God as your protector, or God as your ruler? Conversely, which of those three do you find hardest at the moment? To see God as a God who is good and gives you the things you need. To see God as a God who protects you and defends you. To see a God as a God of power and authority in our lives. The temptations that Jesus faced often feel above our pay grade because we can't respond in the way that he did. We don't see ourselves as ones who are tempted to turn stone into bread. We aren't tempted that God will send angels to rescue us if we jump. And very few of us think that the whole world will be given to us if we bow down to Satan. So we look at these temptations and think, they're fine for Jesus, but not ones that I have to worry about. But rooted in each one of those temptations are the temptations we face every single day of our lives. The temptation to think that God does not give us the things that we need. The temptation to see God as one who abandons us and does not protect us. To see God as having no authority over the rulers and powers of this world. But we are encouraged to turn to the scriptures to find answers and demands for our lives, which help us to have God as our provider, our defender, and our King of Kings. When we find God's place in each of these roles in our lives, we find that we are able to resist the temptations of the world all the more. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are our provider, our defender, and our ruler. We ask, Lord God, for the strength to hold you in each of those roles in our lives. We pray for the wisdom to know and to trust the scriptures as a way of resisting these temptations in our lives, that we might live lives which are good and pure and rooted in the love of God. We ask, Lord God, that each and every day we may live our lives devoted to you, following you in every part of our lives, and that in that worship we might know you as our provider, our defender, and our Redeemer and Saviour. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.